Well, as you know, we are in the season of Lent. Today is the second Sunday in Lent. Lent is the 40-day period between Ash Wednesday and Easter, not counting the six Sundays during that period. So it's actually 46 days. Lent comes from an Anglo-Saxon word, lengthen, meaning spring. The days are lengthening. We are seeing more daylight, thankfully. And next weekend, we move to daylight savings time. So don't forget to set your clock ahead 1 hour next Saturday night before going to bed so that you'll be here for church on time. And spring will actually be here in just 16 days on March 21st. And our Lenten period will conclude on April 9th this year, which is Easter Sunday. And during Lent, we often do more prayer and meditation, scripture study, and it's often an introspective time, a time for spiritual growth and spiritual renewal. And some folks choose to give up something they enjoy during Lent, like a favorite food, for example. One year, I gave up pizza, and that was tough. Donald will tell you. As the days in Lent went along, the more I craved it. And so when Easter Sunday that year came, guess what I had for lunch on Easter Sunday? Yeah, we went out to Catfish Charlie's in Reynoldsburg and had pizza for lunch on Easter Sunday. Ron and Donna and I did. During Lent, we often study the parables of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, and the miracles and healing stories of Jesus that are in the Gospels. And we are continuing in our current sermon series, God in the Everyday for Everyone. And today we're looking at Luke's account of Jesus healing the Roman centurion's servant. And this story has come to be known as a long-distance healing. Do you remember, I think all of us in this room are old enough to remember this. Do you remember making a long-distance phone call? I think most of us here are mature enough to remember that. I'm not going to call us old. But we're mature enough to remember those. And you remember what a big deal that was? And that you were charged by the minute for the phone call by the phone company. Now, my mom was originally from Nashville, Tennessee. She lived there until she was about 8 or 9 years old, and then moved up here to Columbus. And so every year, we would go down to visit her relatives who still lived there. And we would always stay with Mom's aunt, who had a large ranch home. And her real name was Catherine, but all of us called her Auntie. And she had a very thick southern accent, as most people there do. And when we would be getting ready to come back home, Auntie would say to my mom, "Now, Barbara, you call me collect when you all get home." Call me collect. Do you remember that phrase? That's a phrase from a different time period, isn't it? That meant that the charge for the phone call would go to the person receiving the call. So Auntie wanted Mom to call her collect so that Mom and Dad wouldn't have to pay that part of the phone bill. Well, obviously, cell phones have taken care of the long-distance call issue. But do you also remember the slogan, "It's the next best thing to being there"? That, you know, when you would see a telephone company commercial, like for AT&T or Ohio Bell, and, you know, talking about, you know, go ahead and, you know, call Aunt Martha over in Oregon. It's the next best thing to being there. So, back to our story. We have this Roman centurion who has a servant he cares about very much who is very sick. And this story is kind of what you call an exception. First of all, the Jews were under Roman rule. So most Jews and Romans probably weren't too crazy about each other. The Romans, including the centurions, were considered Gentiles. Now, a Gentile was anyone who was not a Jew. And the Jews considered the Gentiles to be ritually unclean. And a Roman centurion was actually a professional Roman soldier hired by the Roman government to keep things and people in line, including the Jewish people. And a Roman centurion was generally in command of 100 soldiers, hence the title centurion. The centurions were often not very nice to the Jewish people. So this story is an exception, and this particular centurion is an exception. This centurion was nice to the Jewish people he came in contact with and was indeed a good man and a man of faith. Even though he was considered a pagan, he was a person of love and care. So he had a servant he cared about very much. For the centurions, servants were probably a dime a dozen, easily replaced if one got sick or died. But this centurion didn't see it that way. He cared about his servant like a true friend. So the centurion sent some Jewish elders to Jesus to ask him to come to heal his servant. The elders told Jesus that this centurion loved the Jewish nation and the Jewish religion, and that he even built a synagogue for them. He went that far in his care for these people. Now, Jesus has just entered Capernaum. He just finished what was called the Sermon on the Level Plain. It's kind of Luke's version of Matthew's account of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew's Gospel has the Sermon on the Mount. Luke's Gospel has the Sermon on the Level Plain. And there are a lot of similarities if you compare the two. But anyway, Jesus has just entered Capernaum, where he often spent quite a bit of time and where he performed many miracles. And I think it's fair to say that he was very comfortable there. It was actually a small fishing village near the Sea of Galilee, and I think some of the disciples even came from there. So Jesus, hearing the elders' request, starts to journey with them toward the centurion's home. And, you know, it probably took several days to get there. And along the way, the centurion actually sends a group of his friends to intercept Jesus to tell him that the centurion feels he's not worthy to have Jesus enter his home. He's very humble, very modest, and just feels that he's not worthy of Jesus' presence. Now, why would the centurion feel this way? Why would he not feel worthy enough for Jesus to come into his home to heal his beloved servant? Well, first, the centurion was a Gentile. The Jews and the Gentiles, as a rule, did not get along. Like I say, this was the exception. The Jews didn't like being ruled over and probably mistreated by the Romans a lot. And the Romans probably despised the Jews for various reasons, too. So they probably did whatever they could to stay clear of each other. Secondly, the centurion didn't feel like he was worthy enough to receive Jesus' kindness. But he obviously knew about Jesus and the great things that Jesus could do. Thirdly, he knew that if Jesus came into contact with him, a Gentile, that Jesus would have to undergo a purifying ritual under Jewish law, because Gentiles were considered to be unclean. And most importantly, the centurion knew and had enough faith that he did not have to be in the presence of Jesus to receive the miracle of having his servant healed. He had the faith to know that only a word from Jesus would heal his servant. What great faith. This scripture and our scripture from 1 Kings both have very important messages. They are related a little bit, but a little bit different. In the 1 Kings passage, we see that Solomon is starting to dedicate the temple in Jerusalem. He starts to give this prayer that the temple be a place for everybody, not just for the Jews. As our wall says over here, my house will be a prayer for all nations. Solomon wants the temple to be available not only for the Jewish people, but also for the Gentiles, a home for everyone. And it goes along with the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ is meant to be open to all. God's love and the love and healing from his Son are not exclusive to certain groups of people. Salvation and grace are available to everyone. You know, this is what I've always liked about our church, a community church, a true community church, is open to all believers. Regardless of whatever your religious background is, or if you don't have any faith background at all, I always have felt that it's one of the great things about our church, being open and accepting and learning about others. You know, sometimes when we feel broken, when we feel unworthy, when we feel like we're not good enough, when we don't feel like we measure up to the world's standards, that's when Jesus wants us to come to him. When we feel unworthy, then we are worthy in Jesus' eyes. Jesus said, "I came to save the lost. I came to save sinners." When we feel unworthy to receive God's love, that's when God wants to work a miracle in our lives. In our Old Testament passage, Solomon established a very important practice for the church: to receive everyone with genuine hospitality and invite them to pray and worship with the congregation, because you never know, they may very well become believers. And what Jesus showed in our passage from Luke is that anyone is able to receive his love and healing, even if Jesus isn't physically there in person, as long as you have the faith to believe. Jesus commended the centurion for having such a great faith, even greater than that of his family, his cousin John the Baptist, or even his disciples. Jesus said, "I have never seen faith like this." So the centurion showed three characteristics of a great faith: that faith is believing, that faith is trusting, and that faith is seeking. So may each of us have the faith of the centurion and truly believe that God's word, God's love, and Jesus' teachings and miracles are open to anyone and everyone who call upon him. Will you join me in a moment of prayer? Loving God, you do open your house to us, to all of us. The invitation is open. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. We need to answer that call, dear Lord. Fill us with your love and your inspiration and your wisdom so that we can open the door and see what you have in store for us. It's all great things, dear Lord, if only we have the faith to seek them out. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And today is the first Sunday of March, and as is our custom here at Gahanna Community Congregational Church, we're going to have Holy Communion, a service of Holy Communion.